Because a lot of people are dealing these days with mental health, right? Trying to find that thing that makes them happy. One little girl read, "If you're scared, then do it scared." And it just teaches that you can push through fear and do something that no one in your family has ever done before. You can do it scared. Just telling kids that sometimes your brain lies to you and says things that just aren't true, but you need to stick to what is true about you. And it teaches them to push those negative thoughts over the cliff. The message in the end is to stay true to who you are and don't bend and pretend, and make sure you think before you follow the trend. I just think it's so important to, again, give them the little tools for the tool belt to navigate their minds better before those rough teenage years hit.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. Are you a reader? Do you like to read books? I love to read books. And I really enjoyed reading books when I was a little girl. But as the years went on, I didn't love reading as much. I think I just had other interests, from dancing and just other interests, hanging out with friends, that kind of thing. But I lost, I don't know, I just kind of lost my zeal for reading until I got it back. And really, I got it back by reading God's Word, if you want to know the truth, and digging into the best book of all. But really, books matter, and what we read matters. The books that our children and our grandchildren read really matters, because books can shape people's beliefs and viewpoints. And there's really a lot of great reads out there, but there's also many that are less than desirable, especially for our children. There was a study that was conducted by the Pew Research Center, and it found that 61% of parents felt that the media, including books, that their children were consuming were just way too violent. And then there was a study by the APA, which is the American Psychological Association, and it indicated that exposure to inappropriate materials can lead to desensitization to violence, increased aggression, and negative attitudes toward gender roles among children. Yeah, it's important that we're reading proper material, words that are going to fuel our soul and fuel our mind and get us on a good path, right? You know, according to a report from the ALA, which is the American Library Association, they actually challenge books in schools and libraries. And those challenges have increased significantly. Actually, this was back in 2022, but they challenged them because of the themes that they had in their books. They were so inappropriate for children, such as sexuality, identity, and violence. And they actually noted that there were 1,500 book challenges that were reported, and that was a 20% increase from previous years. Like, who knows what that number, where that number is today? I'm sure it's escalated because there's more authors today. It's easier to get published, mainly because of self-publishing and with AI and all kinds of things. We really need to be aware of what our children are reading, what the public school system has available. Like, I think most people would be shocked at what is available for their children to read, and even what is even required reading for students in middle school and high school. But on today's podcast, we actually have the pleasure of speaking with my friend Dani Betame, and she is just a delight. She's a children's author who has dedicated her craft to illuminating the emotional journeys of young readers. She speaks from experience. She's had quite the journey of her own life, and she's able to just put things that she's dealt with and what she has seen other people that they have dealt with into words that would really be easy for kindergarten through sixth graders to read and resonate with and to really help them learn and guide them through crucial times in their life. But there are themes like bravery and empathy and mental health topics that really resonate deeply in today's world. And so recent studies show that children's literature, it really plays a pivotal role in their emotional development. Reading stories that explore feelings helps children develop emotional intelligence, which is so healthy. It's crucial. It's essential for their social interactions and their overall well-being. Children's literature is not just entertainment. It's a vital tool for learning. Reading is crucial for brain development, especially in early childhood. So as we navigate a landscape where mental health is increasingly acknowledged, Danny's work really couldn't be more timely, more relevant. And so as we move into our conversation today, I'm excited to hear about her journey, the inspirations behind her books, and how she hopes to empower children through her storytelling. So I hope you are excited to enjoy this show. All right. Well, hello, Danny Bademay. It's good to see you again. Welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just an honor to be on your show.
Yeah, it is so good to see you again. The very first time my husband and I met you was at the airport, and it was so much fun because you were just so bubbly and you were so excited to share this book that you had written, and you gave it to us, and I went home to read it, and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't stop reading this book. It's like a scary movie, but it was your life and your life story of upbringing, and I was like, how does this woman go from tragedy to triumph? And it's all, of course, because of Jesus. And we had the privilege of having you on my other podcast called Your Biggest Breakthrough, episode 35. So I just wanted to plug that in here so people can go and hear your personal story. And it was, the title is Groomed by Darkness, Pursued by the Light. So make sure you go check that out. But today I have you on Visibly Fit because you are in a new, exciting place right now where you are writing children's books, and you have a company called The Little Guiding Light. And I'm just so excited to just hear what your passion is and how this all got started. And yeah, let's just share about, first of all, the culprit to get you even started to writing children's books.
Yes. So as you know, and anybody new listening, I grew up in a really rough way, in and out of the shelters and all the hard ways. And for the last almost 15 years, I volunteer with children growing up in that same hard way. I actually teach children's ministry down in Minneapolis. And so a lot of our kids come from the shelters and they're growing up just like I did, you know, with these blinders on to hate the world, right? Just growing up in a very unfair world where we're raised differently, you know, like I was raised to kind of be a monster, you know, to steal, lie, cheat, all the things. And what I've noticed, if even with where I work, is a lot of people are dealing these days with mental health, right? Trying to find that thing that makes them happy, chasing after some of the wrong goals and wrong dreams, and thinking that next purchase is going to be the thing, right? Or that next vacation is going to be the thing. If I just get the kids to Disney, then it'll be great, right? But we know it's a little bit more than that. So mental health means the world to me. And raising my own two children, I just wanted to make sure that I raised kids that were confident, kind, content, that they knew that they could have wonderful goals, you know, dreams, but to realize that the good time is their friends and families and all the little moments that happen in every day right in front of them. It's not some big picture dream you chase. It's the day-to-day living little things. So again, mental health means a lot to me. And so even when my kids were little, I would start rhyming and I'd write these little rhyming books. I never did anything with them. They just sat in a drawer. Well, I'm an empty nester now. My children are both grown. And I decided, you know, with all the technology today, to go ahead and start publishing these books. And it's been a wonderful ride. So I have launched the first two, The Girl Who Saved One, and If You're Scared, Then Do It Scared, a couple weeks ago. And it's had a wonderful, you know, people just review it and they hold the book to their chest. They're like, this is so good. I wish I would have read this as a kid. And one little girl, I've been able to have children read it and get their review. And one little girl read, If You're Scared, Then Do It Scared. And it just teaches that you can push through fear and do something that no one in your family has ever done before. You can do it scared. And this little girl came up to me and I said, so what did you take away when you read the book? And she just held her head up and she puffed her chest up and she goes, I learned if you're scared, you can do it scared. And I'm telling you, I almost cried. It was the most, that was the whole message in the book. And she got
it. That's right. That's just good.
Yeah. So, and then the next two that I'm launching two books every 3 months. I have about 25 of them. Two of them will be launched in Spanish this month. So the goal is to launch two every 3 months in English and in Spanish until I'm all out of books, until I have no more to share.
I have a feeling God's going to keep giving you books, Dani. You're so creative and you're full of wisdom and experience because you've been through so much and you are working with the inner city children. And so you see so much. And so you're able to articulate it in such a way that would allow children to handle or learn how to handle their big emotions. And I'm just actually going to hold up a couple of your books here. This is the one that says, if you're scared, then do it scared. And it's so super cute. And then the other one that I have here is The Girl Who Saved One. And I love this story as well. And I mean, I went through them as an adult. They're powerful. You're like, oh, yes, this is such a good message. And I'll say that, you know, 85% of Christian parents are looking for solid Christian good moral books, but the books out there aren't always teaching children the right way of living or good godly biblical values. And so your books are timely, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on, because in a world where there's such just distortion and just deception
confusion.
And all kinds of confusion,
a lot of confusion
chaos, all of it. For the children, they need to be pointed to a place that is, I mean, obviously the Bible is the place, but even, you know, I mean, my daughter-in-law, she is all about books. And so I am a new grandparent. And so I want my granddaughter to have good books. And now these aren't overtly Christian books, but they're Christian books. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The message there. And I love that about these books as well, because this allows them to get into the hands of maybe non-Christians, non-believers, and give them the conviction or the tools and just the readings that will plant seeds into their children's hearts. And so I love that. And so these are the first two you have, and you're coming out in Spanish. And then what are the next ones that are coming out shortly?
So the next one that comes out, I'll show you. This is kind of a rough draft of what our cover's going to be. It's right here. And it's called The Thoughts That You Think. And it goes over negative and positive self-talk. You know,
I love it.
I love it too. I mean, we all lied to ourselves when we were younger. No one likes me. I'm ugly. I'm too tall. I'm too short.
We do that as adults, Dani.
I know.
Sometimes.
But yeah. I am a firm believer. I mean, in this, that if you can teach a child at a young age to recognize negative self-talk as just your brain tricking you, lying to you, or, you know, not coming from the Lord, you can push those thoughts out and put in thoughts that are kind. Right?
Nice. Yes.
You know, and if you can get that immediately, like diet, like exercise, like recognizing, you know, things that we've trained ourselves not to do, like cheating on our spouse as an adult. We've trained ourselves not to look, because looking leads to conversation. Conversation can lead to, you know, giving away. You know, like you've trained yourself not to do those things. I believe as a child, they can train themselves to recognize negative self-talk and push it out. And that can be their superpower by the time they're an adult, that they just have control over that. They never even speak negative to themselves. So anyway, it's called The Thoughts That You Think. And here's like an example page. The boy sitting on the bus and he thinks, no one likes me. I look stupid. And you know, just telling kids that sometimes your brain lies to you and says things that just aren't true, but you need to stick to what is true about you. And it teaches them to push those negative thoughts over the cliff. And I'm really proud of that one.
That's good. That's good. Well, it's like, yeah, we have the mind of Christ, right? And to be reminded of that and to know who we are, it's about our identity, right? Ultimately. Yes. And so it's teaching these children about their identity and that they're not to be spoken over in a negative way. And again, these aren't overtly Christian books, but yet they are. I mean, like you even have Dee Dee with a little cross on her shirt. You know, like there's some little subtle stuff. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be like if she didn't have a cross on her neck. You know, she helped. Right. She's the main character.
And this is your daughter.
Yes. My daughter and son are the two main characters, Angelo and Dee Dee, in each book. And they're honored to be in the books, you know. And some of the stories are true stories. The one, If You're Scared, Then Do It Scared, is actually a true story about her. When she was little, she was too scared to read in front of the classroom because her reading level was not where it should be. Anyway, she ends up getting better. She volunteers to read and she realizes that she can do it, and she can do it scared and do it anyway. Well, fast forward, my daughter now lives in Hawaii, and I sent her that book, and she's studying to be a teacher, and she read that book to her classroom, and aww, they're just, Miss Dee Dee, that's you. So just to show how that book came full circle, just adorable.
That's cool. Yeah, and that probably inspired her students realizing that, oh, wow, my teacher had a hard time reading, and maybe I have a hard time reading, but I can do it anyway. And so that's sweet. I love it.
And then the other book that comes out August 18th is called But It's Just an Apple. And then it's just an adorable story, kind of the Emperor Has No Clothing On story, where, you know, how kids these days glorify something. Here, I'll just tell you from my heart, it breaks my heart that a majority of my teens in the city think that their life and their money is going to come from them becoming TikTok viral.
Influencers. You know,
influencers. Like, that's wow. That's a goal career for them. And it breaks my heart because, you know, we know the statistics on that. And it just, so they glorify these people that they see that are viral or on TV. And when I was in fifth grade out of Omaha, Nebraska, I had a teacher come up to me one day and she said, do you know, if you took an apple and you put it on the TV every day, and then you took that same apple and you put it in front of all the other apples in the grocery store, people would literally walk past it and whisper, that's the apple that's on TV. And she said that, and it sat in my head for my entire life. I am 50 years old now, and I work with famous people all the time. I enjoy talking to them, but they're just people. I don't treat them any specially different. I don't even talk about what they do for a living, or that they're rappers and basketball players, and you would know all of them. And I don't even address it because they're just people. So I decided to address that in a book, and it's called It's Just an Apple. And it just falls this apple that goes viral, and everybody can't wait to see it. And they fight over if they can take a selfie with it or where will it be today? And, you know, it has the 6-7 trend in it and the elbow that bent, and it goes over all these trends and how we chase them kind of blindly. And at the end, our hero, Dee Dee, and her brother Angelo, the apple makes it back to the store, what fell on the floor and rolled out the door. And she walks up and she holds it up high in the sky and she goes, but you guys, it's just an apple. And they all have that aha moment where they realize they've been chasing this apple all over the country just to get pictures with it. And they put down their cameras and they leave the store. And then out of spite, she grabs that apple and she takes a big bite. And it's just kind of showing that, like, so stay. The message in the end is to stay true to who you are and don't bend and pretend. And make sure you think before you follow the trend. And I just...
Oh, so good.
I was actually able to hunt down that fifth grade teacher thanks to social media. And she was in Omaha, Nebraska. And now she lives 15 minutes from me here in Lakeville. So we're going to meet
up. Seriously?
Yep.
Okay, that is so cool.
I know. What's the chances of that?
Well, make sure you take a selfie with an apple.
Yes. Well, she's going to sign the book, and then I'm going to sign the book, and I'm going to write a little letter of how I was inspired 40 years ago by one story she said as a teacher, and I'm going to hand deliver that to the Robert Gilder Elementary in Omaha, Nebraska. And I'm hoping they treasure it as much as I do, just how one teacher inspired me to share, you know, just how we shouldn't glorify what we see on TV or what goes viral, but that's not the goal.
That's right. Well, I love that. That is like a full circle situation right there. And I think it's beautiful that you were able to track her down and that she's literally 15 minutes away. But again, it goes back to the power of what we hear and how we hear it in that moment. And so the messages in these books could be reaching one of, you know, our children's or grandchildren's ears and heart at a moment when they needed it the most. And so I just really want to encourage those of you that are listening, if you're looking for some good, solid books that are pure and lighthearted, but yet have just a strong good moral message, go to littleguidinglightbooks.com and get on Danny's email list, but also go ahead and purchase what's there because they are powerful, really good quality books as well. And I love the animation. I love the illustration. I had asked you, I said, well, how, you know, who did your illustration? And you said, actually, they came from just some photos of you and your family, and then you orchestrated it into illustration, and they're just adorable.
Yeah, so I use AI to cartoonize the images, and then I play with them on what's called Canva. A little shout out to Canva. Thank you so much. And that's how I've been able to create these books. It really simplified it for me because it's really the illustrations are fun, but it's the message behind the books that mean the world to me. It's just tools for kids, is their tool belt so they can navigate their minds better before they go into that teenage year where everything gets confusing. And you start, you know, as teenagers, we start judging people because we think that, oh, they're too old. They don't get it. Or, oh, they look like they have money. They're never going to understand my troubles. You know, all the little things that the world taught them to judge people for. And so, you know, catching them at this younger age with these pure messages, I just think it's so important to, again, give them the little tools for the tool belt to navigate their minds better before those rough teenage years hit.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. One of the ones that you, when you came over and we talked it through, but The Girl Who Saved One, you literally kind of read that to me right then and there. And it was so great. But I just wanted to kind of discuss the significance of teaching children about empathy through storytelling, because I think in this day and age, children don't have as much empathy as we did as children. And I don't know if it's because of social media and just media in general, and just how their maybe hearts are hardened, or their minds are numb, their souls are a little bit numb. So it's important to have empathy and compassion, right? In order to change the world and change people.
Right. Well, our kids see everything, man. You know, they see it all. All my kids downtown Minneapolis. So this is what inspired it. My husband says to me, you know, you're always talking about how people will complain online and they'll wear the bracelet and yell their point, but no one's ever really willing to roll up their sleeves and invest their time and their money where their mouth is. And I'm not saying nobody, I'm just saying a large percent. It is very difficult to get people to come down and volunteer to, you know, do math tutoring with inner city kids on their Thursday night. But people will wear the bracelet and they'll complain online. So I get a little emotionally irritated sometimes when it comes to people pushing opinions online but not willing to roll up their sleeves. So he said, you should write a children's book about that. And I thought, I will. And so, the book, The Girl Who Saved One, again, real quick, my children in the city wanted to talk about all the protesting that was going on. So I found a way to address that in the book. And I'll share with you what I actually told my children in person, was we never joined chaos.
Real quick, before you do that, can you quickly share with the audience, you keep saying my children, my people, like, tell people what you do in the inner city and talk about your kids, your children, because they may think you're like the little woman that lives in a shoe. I have so many children, I don't know what to do. So,
well, I do. I teach kids ministry in Minneapolis, and we've been doing that for about 15 years. But my husband and I, we were actually part of a street ministry team that would go out on Fridays nights to love on the homeless and the prostituted, the drug addicted, to help get them off the street, get them into Mary's Place, Teen Challenge, actually affiliated with Teen Challenge, where we could take anybody who was in treatment out with us to help volunteer on the streets. And we've done that for a very long time. And so, so when I say my kids, I'm talking about like students and my kids, is my students. And, you know, they mean the world to me. And I work so hard to get them to want more in their life, to have big vision, big dreams, you know, to expect more out of themselves, and know that it's the choices they make every day that leads to the life they want or the life they end up with. And so it's the little things, we call it the little things matter. The little things that matter, the little decisions you make every day. And apparently we have over 30,000 decisions we make every day. So that's when I say kids, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I wanted you to share that because I know your passion. I know your heart. And I wanted the audience my listeners to know what you and your husband do, because what you do is changing
people's lives. It's making a difference in this community. And I'm just so grateful for all the years and the effort and the time and energy that you pour into these kids that become our adults in this state. And ultimately, when they move out just into this into the world. And so, yeah, we all need to roll up our sleeves and get busy and start helping. In fact, I was like, Danny, how can I join you? I want to do this. So, yeah. So anyway, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's join Danny and Phil and keep making this progression happen. But anyway, so when you tell your kids, do you want to be in chaos or do you want to be in, you know, what are you telling them?
So again, you know,
with the rioting,
we'll just go over the book. So in the book, The Girl Who Saved One, you know, my family, we go to Cannon Beach by Astoria in Oregon. And we get to the beach and there, I call them the green hats and the yellow hats in the book. And these horseshoe crabs have all washed up on the shore because a ship came in the night before and flipped them upside down. Well, the green hats are yelling at the yellow hats. What are you going to do? You need to fix this problem. And the yellow hats are saying, you're the one that caused the horseshoe crabs to roll up on the shore. You're the one that ordered the ship in. And so they're screaming and yelling, and we're just trying to enjoy our vacation, but we don't know what's going on. And all the horseshoe crabs are going to die. Well, the people scream and yell all night long, and they scream and yell in the streets. The yellow hats and the green hats.
Fingers at each other.
With their signs and their whistles, and it's just your fault. It's the city's fault. Someone needs to save the crabs. Well, our two heroes the next day wake up, and they can't take it anymore. And they march down to that shore, and they walk right through the two groups of people, and they pick up a crab, and they just throw it in. And one man yells, what have you done? You can't possibly save them all. And little Dee Dee says, well, I've saved that one. And so all the people would take down their signs, they take their whistles out of their mouth, and they just roll up their sleeves, and they march down to the shore, and they grab a crab each and throw them in. And it was just to show that they had the power within all along. They had the power within all along. And I'm a big fan of that. You know, there's always something you can do to roll up your sleeves in one life in front of you. But if there's ever chaos going on, we don't join chaos. We don't find a way to put ourselves in any kind of situation that invites chaos into our life. But there's always a way to roll up your sleeves before or after the chaos and get something done in just one.
That's right. That's right. That is beautiful.
Yeah, I love the messages in the books. Again, they're not faith-based at this time.
Well, yes, they are. They're faith-based.
I don't promote them as a faith-based book. I promote them for, you know, kind of like when we do street ministry, right? We have hot dogs that are all beef, so they're kosher for Muslim. They're, you know, anybody's welcome to come here or, you know, receive treatment or get taken to the shelter or, you know, be encouraged. But the messages that are encouraging ones are usually coming straight from the Lord, right?
So, right.
And that's where my heart is. My heart belongs to the Lord. He's the one that, you know, completely changed my life. I was a proud atheist. And now I was a proud atheist who couldn't stand being around children. And now here I am working with children, writing children's books, trying to help kids change their lives. It is
God absolutely has a sense
insane.
Of humor.
It is just like, oh yeah, that's exactly it. God has a sense of humor, putting me right where I never thought I would ever go. So it is absolutely blows my mind that this is where I'm at in life. The girl who
it's the least likely that become the most likely, and God will use. I mean, we see it all throughout. His word, right? It's those that we would have never thought that would do these major feats through history and through God's word, and He used Moses and you know all these people that have David, King David. I mean, let's get real. There's so many people that I would say almost everyone that He used would be kind of at least likely that it became the most likely, you know.
Yes.
And so it's a reminder that none of us are too far gone. We're not just to be disposed of. God can use us if we are willing, and you were willing. And Phil, your incredible husband, was a big part of that equation to lovingly get you to understand the love of Christ. And I just think it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been together. We just celebrated our 24th wedding anniversary, and I think it's 28 years together. So we met when we were 22. We're 50 years old now, and I was the wild woman on the streets, you know, full of anger and hated the world. And he had grown up in a faith-based home, you know, believer in the Bible and believer in giving your life to Christ. And
And yeah, he's one of the first people who ever spoke into me, you know, and ended up guiding me to God. And I prayed and gave my life to Christ, and everything changed immediately. And then I'm not an angel, and I'm not a perfect person. I'm actually, my heart is still never in the right place. I am selfish and prideful and greedy. So I'm no angel. I know where my heart is, but I'm still, every day, I still give the day to God. I'm still 100% willing to share my testimony with anybody. Like, I will do anything. Yeah. I'll stop. I'll miss that appointment just to share a testimony, you know, or I'll risk anything just to, you know, do what God wants me to do in that moment. But,
One of the things I love about you, Danny, is that you're authentic, and, and none of us we're all imperfect people, right? We're all looking to become more like Christ in our characteristics and in our ways. And every day we fall short. And so the fact that you just say that right there, you're like, I know I fall short. But when God speaks to you, you're obedient and you follow his call and his direction for your life. And that's really what he wants from us. He knows we're not perfect. That's why he sent Jesus, right? So he's not worried about it, but he just wants us to be obedient. And after obedience comes the blessing, right? And so I just think you're just a beautiful testimony. And I know I'm getting off track here, but speaking of testimony, y'all have to go and listen to her testimony. Again, it's on the Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast, episode 35. You can go try to find that on YouTube or whatever. I'll put it in the show notes. But anyway, I just love your story. It is a book, Godsidence. Oh yes, Godsidence. Yep.
And I prefer to give them away. I didn't write that book to make money. I give away a case a month, and to everybody, anybody, you wouldn't even believe who I signed it to.
That's how we met you.
That's right. I walked up to you and I signed a book
at the airport. Yes.
But again, that was a book I always meant to just give away, but it is on Amazon for the minimum amount you can ask for a book. I do love just to sign it and give it to people. But the other books, my children's books are available on Amazon, on BookBuy on my website, and on Ingram Spark for Teachers. They come with teacher's guides. They come with little, you know, you can print out on my website certificates of you were caught in an act of bravery, caught in an act of kindness. They come with puzzles. And word finds, so they're available for teachers.
Okay, wait, let's talk about that real quick, because for all the teachers in the house, you know, this is a great way to bring this into your next school season and have all these extra, certificates and stuff to give to the kids. I think that's beautiful. So they just can go to littleguidinglightbooks.com to get all that?
Yes, and then to get them into their school, they have a path they need to take, and have all that, you know, they know the path they need to take, but my books are available for the schools through Ingram Spark. Same with bookstores. They're available through Ingram Sparks. And I believe that's why, one of the reasons, you know, I did stay away from keeping them faith-based, because I really want them in our public schools. These books in our public schools to help children navigate their minds, you know.
Yes.
Help them navigate minds.
Yeah, and we need them in our public schools because of the books that are in our public schools. We don't want our kids reading a lot of them, and they are either just being read to them and we don't know about it, or they're later on in middle school and what have you, they're required reading, and we're like, whoa, how did that even slip in? And so it takes us being educated ourselves as parents, trying to find out what is, you know, for those of us that have children in public schools. But that's why a lot of people are going to homeschools, so that they know what is being taught to their kids. And
I don't mean to interrupt you, but while we were talking about a couple minutes ago, I received a text photo of a woman who teaches second grade in a public school. And she had about 30 students sitting at her feet, and she was reading the book, The Girl Who Saved One. And
that's so good.
And it's so cute because it's such a good photo. You can see all the kids on the ground sitting around listening. And it's just, you know, so it is making it into the public schools. Teachers are reading it. So I just want to encourage people, just take a look at it. If you're like, oh, I don't know if my school will allow it, they will allow it. It gets the green light. So I really encourage, if you're a teacher in a public school, to please take a look at it.
That's good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I just want to end by just asking you, you know, what is your, you know, your biggest goal for Little Guiding Light Books? And what is your, the ultimate goal in your heart and in your mind?
So I do, like, honestly, it would bring me great joy to be able to send, because once it's complete and I have 20 books ready to go, I would like to send a case of them to the shelters all over the country in English mm-hmm. and in Spanish. And I would love to dedicate my time going to shelters to read these books to the kids, choose which book should go to which child, sign that book to them for free, and do it honestly for the rest of my life. What would make mm-hmm. me happy, right? That would make me the happiest, because I can only speak to so many kids a week. We see about 60 yeah. kids a week downtown in Minneapolis, and I get to, you know, mentor them, guide them, love on them, teach them all about the Lord, but give them, the thoughts that you think, right, kind of messages. And to just be able to go in there and read to them and then sign the books, and maybe they'll hold it dear to their heart and never let it go, like I did with the, you know, but it's just an Apple story.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they did it with one of the messages where they learned that they're in control of their conduct and the words that come out of their mouth, the thoughts that they think, that there's no more super amazing thing you can do than have self-control over your anger, you know, all the good biblical things.
Talk about the right? fruit just of the spirit. Yeah.
The fruit of the spirit, right? I just, yeah. I don't know. That would be the goal, I'd to give them that. To the shelters.
Well, Lord, let it be. Bless Danny abundantly, because you have been such a blessing to so many. And so thank you again for coming on and for sharing your heart and doing the work to bring these books to life. I mean, they were in a drawer for a long time, and the Lord said, now, Danny, now. So this podcast may also inspire somebody that's got a dream, a little something or another sitting in a drawer that's been sitting there for 20 years. Get that going. Now's the time, especially if the Lord has put it on your heart. So again, thank you, Danny, so much. And go to littleguidinglightbooks.com to get your books today. And if you're a teacher, go through the process there and get your books and all the things that come with it. So, all right. Thank you so much, Danny. And I guess I'll see you soon, I'm sure. Maybe on some fun inner city adventure.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. I appreciate your time. And thank you all for listening about my passion project. I really, really appreciate you.
Yeah. You're sweet. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.